This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
2-2, last of the 12th. The 20-year-old Alex Rodriguez. Chance to be the hero. Right center. The ball game is over. And Rodriguez is the hero.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Just watching the tape, if I was promised that both of these quarterbacks were going to be healthy for the next 10 years, I would take Tua over Burrow, but there's no way I could do that knowing the history of quarterbacks and the injuries in the NFL coming from college.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Who else but Simon?
No foul!
They're not going to foul him. It's only right. The ball's in his hands. A milestone victory for Arizona. Simon says championship. The most amazing run this tournament has ever seen.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson, in with you on this sunny Tuesday afternoon, or at least it's partly sunny.
Yeah, a little sunny outside. A little cloud breaks today. It's not raining, so that's better than nothing.
Well, and got the unfortunate news: kids ain't going back to school.
Is that official?
Well, they extended it. They basically, it's not looking good.
How long are we extended through now?
Let me bring up this. I was just reading about it because I got a group chat.
Everybody's trying to figure out what they're going to do with their kids till June.
Now, the funny thing about Oregon is our school systems don't necessarily test out as well as other states.
Oh, okay. We don't have good schools here. I see. I don't follow the schools. I don't have kids. I don't know. I don't follow that
stuff
yet. Well,
what was Cleveland's grade every year?
I mean, I thought we were okay.
Really?
Yeah, I thought Cleveland was okay.
I always thought you guys were the Park Rose of the PIL.
No, easy, easy. That was like Madison, okay? Come on now.
Or Marshall.
Yeah, come on, easy. No, Cleveland had an interesting split of like, it was like 50-50, kind of down the middle.
Smart kids, stupid kids.
Yeah, yeah. We had a decent balance, which I think makes it kind of an average school.
Well, Park Rose has had an F.
Sure.
Like every year of maybe my entire life. Maybe they've been doing well since I graduated, which, hey, shout out to them if they have. That's awesome.
Right.
But we've known Oregon hasn't had greatest school systems out there. And what I love about moments like this is you then get people that get angered by the school system. I'm like, but man, it hasn't been great the entire time.
Yeah.
So what are we outraged about?
Why are we angry right now?
I got into a conversation with a good friend. He listens to the show and he might be listening now, so I'm probably pissing him off even more.
Uh-oh.
He's like, Oregon sucks. And I was like, how so? What are you talking about?
Yeah, what's the basis for this?
And then he went on a rant about the school system. I thought, well, dude, the school system sucked last year and you didn't say anything. We're dealing with something nobody's dealt with in 100 years.
Yeah, I think it's hard to be angry with schools right now. This is kind of an unprecedented territory. They don't really know what's happening.
Well, he was going into detail on some of the things that they're doing, at least in the Clackamas area.
Okay, like for online teaching?
Or maybe lack thereof, because there's a certain percentage of kids, and it's not a big percentage, but there are kids
For example, if their income is $30,000 or less, 44% of those kids don't have internet access at all.
Right, or a computer to do the Zoom teleconference kind of stuff. Yeah.
And so it was more like a rant about, do you not teach kids online and wait for everybody else to have online access? And then should it count towards grades? Because right now they're saying it won't. It'd basically just be teaching online without...
Right. You're just getting lesson plans without tests and final grades and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, basically that. So and it's not a perfect system. I don't disagree with them on that, but...
Well, that's it. I mean, that's got to be the tough part, though, too, is that you don't want to leave kids behind, right? And if you have a certain segment of your populace that are in your school that can't follow through the same protocols as the other students, you're leaving a chunk of students behind.
No doubt.
Because they're, and it's nothing, it's not their fault. They just don't come from a well-off background like some of the other students potentially, and they can't use the technology like the other kids.
See, the one problem I think with a group chat that I have is like three or four of the people in the group chat are self-made. They're business owners or they are business owners of a company that they worked their way up through. And so I'm always hearing from them on that perspective, and I can't relate to that because I'm just a shill, man. I just come in and...
Yeah, we're just showing up for a couple hours and we're going home. You
right,
know?
I work for a big conglomerate. What do I know? I'm a peon, right? But I'm always hearing their opinions from that perspective, and I find it interesting because I don't have that in my life outside of them. But my viewpoint on this, and it probably differs because I'm not in their position, is like anytime about school... or the closing of something or the extension of quarantining, I understand the frustrations on the other side of this. What? Come on. We have to close for another month. Oh, man, this is terrible. It's horrific. But again, we're dealing with something we haven't had in 100 years. We were, technologically speaking and medically speaking, we're more up to par with, from where we were 100 years ago.
Right.
But our reaction time to a lot of this in different areas has been drastically slow or not quick enough. And so now whenever they announce something's closed or you can't do something, I'm kind of just at a point where I shrug my shoulders and I go,
sounds right.
Well, it sucks, but as long as this leads to us getting outside quicker, do it.
Right, and having a somewhat normal summer and getting back to just a regular routine. Like, I'm all for it, no matter what it takes here in the short term.
I have a beach house in July reservation
in
Newport.
You want to go to that.
And we're not canceling it because we're holding out hope that by July...
Yeah.
We can get back to somewhat normal life, but we don't know if we will be able to.
Yeah, it's just going to be really weird to see how this all works out. Like, we had this, and we'll get to it, I'm sure, today, but the ruling on the NCAA athletes and the spring athletes getting another year of eligibility.
And the winter ones not.
Right, just how that's going to work, because it's like for colleges, it's a lot easier to pull this off because kids mostly have laptops and computers and technology, and it's easier a lot. Hell, I took a bunch of classes when I was in college online to begin with, so you're just kind of changing the format a little bit. And is it going to be different? Of course, but you can still get most of the stuff done. Like, it's kind of unique for elementary school kids because, I mean, you're not going to hold them back for a year, right? You're not going to make them do whatever grade they're in all over again. They were almost done with the year anyways. We were to basically spring break when everything shut down. It's just kind of, it's uncharted waters that schools haven't been in yet either. I did get a chuckle, though, the other night. I was talking to my dad, who he's retired, but he still teaches a couple of classes at Concordia, which, by the way, was shutting down.
R.I.P.
Now they have this on top of it. So they were shutting down. Now they have the quarantine where students aren't allowed. It's a whole thing.
Did he get their tuition situation figured out?
I don't know the answer to that, but they did call him and they said, hey, a couple of kids need like a final class to graduate. Can we put something together for the spring and you teach it? And he was like, yeah, sure. And he agreed to it before all of this stuff happened. So he has a class of like six students that he's trying to help get a couple of final credits done to make sure that they can graduate on time. And I was talking to him the other night. He is as anti-technology as you could possibly be, like doesn't understand it, not a good text. It's not his cup of tea. He's older and, you know, he didn't grow up in that era.
Well, I'm not as old as him, but I really feel his pain at times.
Right, I can't blame him at all for that. So I was like, how are you dealing with this? Because you hate online teaching. It was one of the reasons he almost wanted to get out of teaching was because all of this stuff is going online and he likes having a discussion in class the old-fashioned way. I said, are you going to do like video conference teaching? He said, no, I'm just going to call each student for a half hour. I was like, well, I mean, that's not a bad. He said, there's only five of them. So the class usually goes like 2.5 hours anyway. So
you understand what I'm saying, James? Yeah. Yes, I do, sir. All right, you pass. Good job.
Yeah, I'm going to give them a lesson plan. I'm going to call them for a half hour. I'm going to talk to them about the curriculum and see if they understand it. I was like, it's not a bad idea.
Sounds efficient.
You got to find a way to evolve.
And sometimes, you know, test taking in itself, they've done so many studies on it about how there are legit problems with people who take tests. They take tests and they freeze up or the pressure gets to them. And it doesn't mean they don't know the material sometimes.
Right.
Yeah. I find if you could have a conversation and your dad's a smart enough guy to figure this out, you give him a lesson plan. You call him for a half hour, you'll be able to tell who truly understands the material.
Right, who did their homework, who studied.
Yes, and then who just kind of is trying to BS their way through it.
Yeah, that's a whole deeper conversation of is filling out a multiple choice question the best way to understand if you...
The true measure of it,
right, yeah. The true measure of your education and your understanding of a topic, because a lot of that is just memorizing certain things, and once you memorize them and you're done with that test, you flush it and you move on to the next one.
Patent pending, but I threw this idea out with some other friends of mine. I'm telling you, whoever comes up with the Amazon of online school, man, they're going to make so much money.
Like,
there's not a universal system for it.
No, there's not.
It's actually pretty inconsistent, and largely schools will draw you to multiple websites that learn, like Read a Rabbit stuff. Remember Read a Rabbit when we were kids?
Yeah.
Like, that was cool, but like in the grand scheme of things, it was very limited to what you could do and also limited to technology back
sure.
then. But whoever creates the one-stop shop where all the schools buy the website domains and they say...
This is it. This is our place. You go through
you
here.
Know, as an example, you go to Amazon.com or whatever it is, learnforbetter.com, and you log in and you just type in your school, and then the curriculum has been funneled through each school system into a portion of the website. Whoever creates this, patent pending... is going to make an obscene amount of money because every school would buy it.
Everybody would.
They don't have, it's just so all over the place. I've gotten multiple emails from my daughter's school and they say, hey, go to this website. And we've been using it and it's good, but it's a little limited in what you're getting. It doesn't explain things as thoroughly as like obviously a teacher would. Or
wasn't it kind of an honor system anyways? Like, how does it work?
It's not even a due process. It's
right.
like, hey, if you want your kid to keep learning, here's a website.
Go to this to help them. Yeah.
Whereas like, you remember our friend Ryan from Pelican, and we'll get to what's on tap in a second. His wife is an online teacher, and we talked to her on our getaway weekend right before this hit.
It was fascinating. I didn't even know that existed, like elementary school teaching online at home every day.
Yeah, and if you could plug that in to this website where the curriculum's online, and then you could get 20 minutes a day, and it, you know how you stream stuff and it shows you how many people are logged in? It shows you what kids are streaming. Like, if you could create whatever that website would be, telling you.
Gonna make big bucks, man.
That's the money.
Look at that. Genius idea of the day.
That's the next Amazon. Patent pending. TM. All right, let's find out what's on tap.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right. There's a lot of sporting events and you say, oh, I gotta go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
Somebody's saying my idea is pretty stupid, huh?
No, we actually haven't got that yet. I'm surprised we haven't had one that like that already exists.
As a parent, I don't. Where does it exist at?
I don't know.
I haven't found it yet, so it obviously doesn't exist to the point I'm talking about.
I'm not in touch with any of this stuff.
All right, we got a good show today. We got a lot to get to. I say that every day, and then we end up farting around for about an hour and a half, so that's kind of what it turns into.
I got to admit, listeners are really making me laugh today.
I'm enjoying the listener interaction we've had during all of this. I hope we're here for each other, because we've enjoyed your guys' texts, your tweets, everything.
I don't want to spoil a segment, but somebody said, or people are texting it, by the way, Khan Academy. Is that a thing? I never heard of it.
Guess what my school is not using?
Khan Academy.
Khan Academy.
But have you seen that people are sending sex tapes to Joe Buck?
What? For what?
Have you seen that?
To do play-by-play?
Yeah.
He
did an interview on a radio station in St. Louis because they said, what are you doing? We've seen you've done like jokey play-by-play stuff. How's your life right now? He said, yeah, I'm trying to keep busy and do play-by-play, but people keep sending me sex tapes. And he said, I'm not going to do the play-by-play for those right now. He was like, maybe later in life. So I asked the question today of who would you have play-by-play your lovemaking if you could choose? Listeners are cracking me up, man. We got a couple of votes for Swigard.
Oh, that would be awkward.
Absolutely.
That's swag-alicious.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler is probably my favorite right now. By God, he killed her.
Right when your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend or whoever says, hey, are you really finished?
Absolutely.
Swag chiming in.
Off the top rope!
Boy, that's an interesting one. I'd have to really noodle on that
one. And that, I saw that and I was like, people are sending sex tapes to Joe Buck. He's getting that in the mail right now.
Okay, before I tell you what's on the show real quick, I'll say this. On that topic.
Mike Breen.
Bang!
Bang! You would want the bang in there. You also have to have...
You would totally want the bang in there.
But you have to have the right voice to your sexual prowess. If you went real aggressive, like, oh, I want Marv Albert. It's like, well, are you really worthy of Marv Albert?
Right. I would love to think that Gus Johnson would play-by-play me, but I don't know. That might be a little too much.
A spectacular move by Andy Johnson.
I don't know if I got that in my repertoire.
Maybe you want Vin Scully.
Right.
His dulcet tones.
A little more laid back.
Telling a story.
Yeah, you're not as engaged, so Vin Scully's trying to kill time by telling a great story.
On the night. Stand.
And
got the
one time
playing.
I made love to my wife in the kitchen while she made a ham sandwich.
Music is playing in the background.
All right. Well, look.
Maybe you're a Jim Nance kind of guy.
Yeah, maybe you are a Jim Nance. Hello, friends.
Hello, friends. We're getting busy.
Boy, and he's really nailing that azalea. I'll tell you that much. Tony Romo trying to predict your next move. Boy, you could go so many different directions.
He's going out of the leg here, Jim. He's going out of the leg.
Watch. He's going to lift the anchor,
here it
Jim.
Comes. Here it comes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail everything, but
Hunter's recap. We've got NFL true or false. We've got Kurt Simpson, who's the author of the new book Roaring Back about Tiger Woods. We're almost a year to date of Tiger's improbable Masters win. No daily ticker booked as of now, although it's kind of fluid.
YOLO.
So if it doesn't get booked by 12:30, don't worry. We have a segment in place, and then we'll just call the top of the 1 o'clock hour the daily ticker.
We're all fluid here.
There's no money attached to it, so it's okay. The Chicago Bulls 90s docuseries is coming earlier. We said that this was going to happen. They finally gave us a date for that. We got a whole lot to get to today, but we'll start with that. If you could pick one voice to call your lovemaking, who would it be? And I want honesty here. Don't give me the best of the best. If you're mediocre, then give me like a run-of-the-mill play-by-play guy.
Mike Rice.
It's honesty time here. Dirt and Sprague with you. Happy Tuesday. Fan text lines 55305. We're back with that on the fan. All right, can I be honest about something very quick?
Sure, fire away.
I ran to this song the other day.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I mean, look, we could all make fun of the documentary. It's good music. Good music.
It sounds good. The lyrics are ridiculous, but he sings them so well that you're like, well, I guess I'm in.
That tiger saw a man. I mean, come on. It's got a good collection of songs. What do you want from me?
He also, Joe Exotic, update on Joe Exotic. Cardi B, she watched this and she concluded what we had. Said Joe got framed. Joe's innocent. So she created a GoFundMe to try to free Joe. Well, GoFundMe shut it down because, like, no, he's actually a convicted...
Yeah, he can't do that.
...attempted for murder guy.
Yeah, he killed animals, can't do that.
Well, Cardi B has been fighting back against that. Joe's Exotic's a good guy. Guess what leaked today? A video from 2015 where he went on a rant on camera about how he should be able to say the N-word because other black people say it.
It's a bad look.
Still feeling that way, Cardi B?
It's a bad look. Did you see the guy, what was the guy who did the podcast that we had on? What was his name?
Oh, Robert Moore.
So he did another Twitter thing this weekend, and I saw, because he told us on the show last week that he had told people that he was dying of cancer.
Of bone marrow cancer.
Bone marrow cancer, and that he was like starting a GoFundMe, and people were sending him money thinking that Joe Exotic was dying of bone marrow cancer.
And he believed him, too, because Joe sent a picture to him of him in the hospital, and he looked horrible.
And it turned out that he just had like an infection and a really bad case of herpes.
Yeah, really bad case. His whole lips are chapped.
He had double lip herpes action going on. It was a whole thing, man.
Yeah, so, okay. Let's get to the topic at hand. So where did you see this story? I didn't see this story. I've been looking, and I just missed this one.
So Joe Buck was on, who was he on with? He was on KMOX radio in St. Louis. And here's what he said.
He lives there, right? Is he because he grew up in St. Louis.
His dad was a Cardinal broadcaster, obviously, Jack Buck. So I'm assuming that he still lives in St. Louis, or at least he has a relationship with these guys. So he went on, and they had asked him kind of if people are sending him videos of things to play-by-play, because he did the one that we played on the show of his son, crying with his wife. I think he did another one of his dog. And he said, yeah, I've had a couple submissions from, let's say, a man and a woman that just didn't seem appropriate to put my voice to at this stage in my life. Maybe later in life, but now, not now. I look at these videos very carefully and pick the ones that seem the most wholesome to put my voice to. So apparently he's doing a lot of these play-by-play things. So he's admitting that people are sending him sex tapes trying to get Joe Buck to play-by-play that, which sparked this idea in my mind. And I think the easy answer for me, and a lot of listeners have texted it in, easy shouldn't be, I shouldn't say easy, but the answer I'm leaning towards right now, Bill Walton.
Oh.
Just kind of random, all over the place.
Throw not it a, down, big fella.
Not a real strategy. You know, occasionally there's something that's thrown in there that you're just like, why are volcanoes in the middle of this right now? What is happening?
Yeah.
Is a basketball game going on? I'm kind of digging the Bill Walton vibes, not going to lie.
All right, there's an easy answer for this for me.
Have you ever played the Glockenspiel?
All right, well, you had to go there with that, didn't you?
Sorry.
What does that say about you, by the way?
I don't know.
That Bill Walton, like, you're choosing somebody who won't focus?
That's
right. Is that an indictment of your lovemaking ability?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay admitting that.
I'm gonna go with a guy that's pretty well known, but not put on that top tier pedestal. Because one, I think if we're being really honest, we need a little confidence boost, right? Like most of us need a confidence boost.
You want someone to give you a push?
Well, not all of us are Joe Diffie with 10 inches and serious game out there,
That's
right?
That's true. How about Joe Diffie?
Hey, I believe it. So I'm going to go with a guy that's consistent. His temperament's perfect. He doesn't go over the top. But man, when you do something really well, you're going to know it and feel good hearing it. And I'm going with Ian Eagle. I'm going to go with an Iron Eagle.
Iron Eagle, huh?
Consistent, can call multiple sports.
Is he going to give you the motivational boost that you need, though?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Iron Eagle's got great pipes.
Okay.
He's not Gus. He won't go Gus Johnson on me and like,
sure.
I'll start kissing my wife's neck and he'll go, oh! I don't want that. I don't need that in my life. Right. I want consistency.
Right.
And then if I actually please my wife, I want Iron Eagle to
finish the call.
He'll have the right call for that. We've heard Iron Eagle be good, and then when something important happens,
yeah.
You feel it.
We've had a lot of Brockmeyers texted in.
Brockmeyer would be excellent.
You think Brockmeyer would be
good? If he existed in real life and you got him to play the character, sure.
Sitting there in his flannel jacket or whatever.
Than Harry Doyle.
that's a little better than Harry Doyle. What about Harry Carey? We've had a few Harry Careys texted in. You want him in the corner drinking a Budweiser?
Hi, everybody.
Hey, what's going on over there? Look at the guy in the sombrero.
What do you call that? I don't know what she's doing.
Why is he wearing a poncho?
This radio show is just turning into us imitating
imitations of him.
What it is. Swigard, where would you go as an actual play-by-play guy?
Yeah.
Where do you go?
I got two. Either Kevin Harlan or Doc Emmerich.
Doc Emmerich would be pretty solid.
Yeah.
Doc Emmerich is one of the best.
Yeah, because you've been on the other side of a Doc Emmerich game where your team loses.
Sure.
But the whole time he builds you up like you're going to win and then you lose. I could totally see that happening.
Yeah. some of the
I'm surprised you didn't say yourself.
You could just play by
just
play
out
it on
of
your
the
own.
Absurdity of the situation. Jason's pants are down. And
just refer to swag in the third person the entire time.
Oh, don't act like you haven't done that already. It's okay.
What about the Shawns with some bingo, bango, bongo?
Oh, man.
Lickety brittle up the middle.
Yeah, huh? What, Dave Niehaus break out the rye bread?
It's brand salami time!
Speaking of salami, you could go a multitude of ways.
Could you handle Dick Vitale? Would that be a little too over the top?
No.
He's awesome, baby!
He'd ruin the mood.
It's too much hyperbole.
A little too much.
Okay. I think Gus Johnson would ruin the mood, too.
We got Brett Musburger's getting texted in quite a bit.
You are looking
live.
There's anybody that would probably like accept that job. It might be Brett Musburger.
I bet he lives in Vegas. You don't think he's at some random house where they're filming something?
We got a lot of like the Hispanic soccer call play-by-play folks, the long goals.
What about if you could bring him back from the dead, Keith Jackson?
Keith Jackson would be
great.
God, that is great. And probably the answer that is making me chuckle the most is the Doc Parkers that are coming in. Touchdown, Beavers!
And then if you disappointed, we've heard Mad Doc Parker on the call.
That's it. Pick six. It's over. That
That's it. It's all done. Like he's finished.
The guy gets done. The wife has this look.
30 seconds? Are you kidding me?
It just goes quiet for like 2 minutes and it's over.
Wow. That's all he's got.
We're back with more Beavers IMG.
Are Isaac and Souk here yet?
Oh, man. No, you know what Isaac and Souk talked about yesterday? They led their show with the church thing. That's kind of about sums up where we're at.
The pastor, yeah.
Look, we got sports to get to. We're going to get to the Bulls documentary thing here in a minute. I enjoy, you caught me off guard with this. I didn't know this even happened.
I just want to know what's going through people's minds that they send sex tapes to Joe Buck. Like, that's what they're doing during their quarantine. One, how do you, do you DM it to him?
I think you mail it to him.
How do you find his address or his email address? Is that just easy to discover, how to mail something to Joe Buck? Imagine Joe Buck, too, who's, like, getting these videos because he's trying to do some wholesome content in the meantime, and he, like, turns it on, and it's just Bob and Sharon from Nebraska just getting down in the backyard. Like, okay, well, I just pulled that up on my computer. My bad.
Well, what did he say? He said it was two people that I'm not. What was the exact quote?
His exact quote was, let's say a man and a woman that didn't seem appropriate to put my voice to.
So what is that telling you? To me, that's saying he was kind of disgusted by what he saw.
Yes, but he also said that maybe later in life he'd be willing to play-by-play it, just not right now.
Oh, I'd put money on that. When he's done on network television, he's going to find himself on the Howard Stern show doing stuff like this.
You know what blew me
away? He loves to... I mean, he had an HBO show for a minute.
He did, for two episodes.
So we know Joe Buck likes to kind of dabble in these waters.
You know what blew me away last night? I was watching, they were re-showing the Red Sox-Yankees 2004 series on the MLB Network. And that was... So I'd watched the 2003 series over the weekend, a couple of those games, like Boston blowing Game 7. And he was on the call, of course, of that. And then I started thinking to myself, how old is Joe Buck? Because that was 17 years ago.
He got in at a young age, man.
He's only 50.
Yeah.
So, and I can't, do you remember what year he started at Fox as like their head play-by-play guy?
Oh, I would say it's not much earlier than that, than 03.
Because, I mean, you're talking 03. He was 33 years old as the lead voice of Fox Sports.
Dude, that would be, yeah, that's literally putting me, right, like my age right now.
It's like a year.
As calling the World Series.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Think about that for a second.
God.
Fox, hiring at Fox. 1994, he was hired by Fox. He became the youngest man to ever announce a NFL game.
So if he's 33 in 03, in 94, he's...
He was 25.
Jeez.
In 1996, he was named Fox lead play-by-play voice for Major League Baseball with Tim McCarver. You also forget how bad Tim McCarver was. Oh, God.
Yeah.
So 1996, he started doing... let's see. It looks like, yeah, so his first World Series was 1996.
I'm a Joe Buck defender, too. I think he gets a bad rap.
Yeah, he gets a total bad rap.
Yeah.
He's.
I think people just hate him to hate him. And
I don't know.
Everybody
I think
does
he's
it.
Smug or snarky, but I guess. But
I make him funny for the bedroom, too. Snark.
Yeah.
Oh, he's hilarious in Brockmire.
We'll see you tomorrow night.
Dude, he's a pretty good personality outside of calling play-by-play.
He can make fun of himself. He's
grown a lot in that regard, I think. He's leaning into it now, which
But isn't
is really
that part
good.
Of the process, though, as a human?
Sure, you gotta, yeah.
You're 33 calling a World Series game.
Right.
You start balding a little bit. You dye your hair. You talk about the hair plugs. Like, everybody goes through that stage. He just had to do it publicly, and it's not easy to deal with.
Yeah, in front of like 20 million people watching a World Series game.
Right, and if you don't address your hair, it's going to start thinning, and then people are going to make fun of you. Hey, Joe Buck, go bald.
Yeah, you can't go bald, man.
You can't win in that situation.
Gotta have a little bit of hair up there.
All right, let's get to something sports, and that is the Chicago Bulls 1998 docuseries that has been talked about quite a bit. It was set to air in June. They moved it up, and now we've got the official date. We'll get to that. We'll talk about that. And is this the most universally beloved team in pro sports history? I don't know if you can name another one. We'll get to it next. Well, we got some good sports news last night, and this was first reported by Andrew Marchand, and then everybody else, I think, got a press release. ESPN, we talked about them moving up the Last Dance, the... Jordan 90s Bulls docuseries. It's a 10-parter, but we didn't know the date. Well, that got put out last night. It will start on April 19th, which is a Sunday, and they will air 2 one-hour episodes each Sunday between April 19th and May 17th. And then Outside of the U.S. episodes will be available on Netflix the day after the air.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, I don't know if I shared this. When I went to Vietnam, you know what I noticed? Netflix, way cooler internationally.
Was it really? Why? Yeah.
They give you multiple language options for every movie, including English.
Oh, do we not have that option here? I mean, not that I would ever want to change the language of a movie.
No, but like we were watching some of the Disney movies in Vietnamese in Saigon. And we got back here, we figured out we couldn't do it.
Interesting.
Netflix International, better than Netflix US.
How about that?
Hot take. So we're going to get the 90s docuseries, The Last Dance, moved up, and it starts April 19th. That's some good news.
This is going to be amazing. The fact that they're airing it on Sunday nights, I think, is going to be awesome. It gives you something at the end of the weekend to look forward to. And it sounds like, I mean, if you remember, how many parts was the OJ one? Do you remember off the top of your head?
It might have been 10.
It was a long documentary. It took a long time to get through. And I want to say each one was like an hour long. And this is kind of what you're talking about. I mean,
Main America.
It was a long, long documentary.
It was. It was really good, though.
It was really good. But this is, I mean, you're essentially talking about a Sunday night movie every single night. It sounds like, I think each episode is longer than an hour, so you're sitting down, and the fact that they moved it up and they're going to do it once a week for 10 weeks, it's awesome. We need this as sports fans. We're craving for any content that we can get. There's no live sports around the corner, at least that we're sure of and can confirm. So to get this moved up from June to April, to have it be Sunday nights, it's going to give us something to watch, to talk about. And it appears to be one of the better done documentaries, just upon the trailers and the people that they've talked to and the people that are involved in it, that you'll ever see. So I'm fired up for this. It's going to be awesome.
Made in America had 5 2-hour episodes.
So
they were like watching movies, basically.
Right. 5 movies, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's because that was a sliver, but that was a small nitpick, I think, with people with that one, was just how long an episode would be.
Yeah.
But you had 5 of them.
Sure.
I still thought it was one of the best things I've ever watched, OJ Made in America.
Well, it was good to get the OJ one was great because you got the backstory of him as a kid and his upbringing, and just kind of, it just was interesting to go back through it. And this is kind of the same thing because we all remember Jordan and the Bulls. You remember their dominance in the 90s, but to the fact that you had a camera crew follow them along for an entire season at the end of it, and they've been sitting on this footage now for 12 years and then added interviews and, you know, stuff after the fact to tie it all together, it's just going to be amazing.
You find it weird how lately, with all the streaming that we have, we go through these ebbs and flows of different people or storylines? So, like, OJ Made in America, like, mm-hmm. OJ was the thing for content for a solid year and a half.
He was, because then you also had the FX show that came out at a similar time.
I think you also had another docuseries or documentary about it, too, on a different platform. Then you got to Mr. Rogers. Everybody had Mr. Rogers content. Then you got to Nazis, which is kind of where we're at now.
Yeah, big, strong Nazi vibe.
Like, we go through these, I don't know, it's weird how these arcs just randomly emerge, right? Like the OJ stuff comes out because of the anniversary of it. I don't really know where Nazi stuff really started, but like that became all the rage. Yeah. We're watching Hunters, which we'll get to our recap of episode 8 today. And then now you got the 90s Bulls, Mr. Rod. I mean, you kind of look around, you get these. It's just weird how they just randomly come out. Like Mr. Rod, I don't even know what started the Mr. Rogers stuff. But all of a sudden you had Tom Hanks, you had the HBO stuff, you had the podcast, yeah. Bam, 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 bam.
It was just the theme of the day.
Yeah, we go through these ebbs and flows of different topics, but this is an interesting one in this regard. A lot of people are going to be educated about how truly great the team was and how mesmerizing and captivating and legendary Michael Jordan was. Because a lot of people talk about it, but there's a decent amount of people that really just weren't old enough to grasp it.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking 1998 was the last title. So, you're looking at 22 years ago. So, if you're under the age
of, I would say 25 and under, yeah, do not get it.
You don't understand it. You didn't watch it.
Not to say they haven't watched old school games on NBA TV or gone to YouTube and seen it. But, like, when you weren't young and going through it, or teen or young 20s or even in your 30s during that era, I don't know if you can understand how massive he truly was. And I heard Colin talking about this, but I was thinking about this last night when I saw this come out. They are easily the most beloved team in sports history. I know that sounds controversial. It's really not. Everybody finds a way to crap on every other dynasty or great team, and we don't do it with this one. And I don't know if that's because of the commercial success tie-in with them It can't just be championships. The Boston Celtics won 11. Then they won some in the 80s, and everybody craps on them. The Lakers, same thing. They're Laker fans. There's Magic fans. There's Shaq fans, Kobe. But you still have a ton of people that crap on them. The San Antonio Spurs were too boring for people. They crapped on them. The New England Patriots, they're cheaters. They get crapped on. You kind of look at the dynasties, and nobody talks about a team and their run quite like we do with the 90s Bulls. They were, no matter who you talk to, anybody older than you and I, they could do no wrong. It didn't matter who they played. It didn't matter how good the era was. Nobody would have beaten them in many people's minds.
Well, and Jordan's the same way, too.
Exactly.
We often overlook how much talent he had on his team, where we like to hold that against other athletes and other players, especially in the NBA.
But if you suggest that, it's like people take that personal. Like you're trying to knock Michael Jordan down as a pro athlete.
Is that the case at all?
I don't find that to be...
What about another Chicago team, the 85 Bears?
But they only had the one Super Bowl.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't do that. But they're beloved because of the shuffle and the dance and the fridge and Walter Payton.
I guess I'm talking about teams, dynasty. Yeah, multiple runs as champions.
Because for the most part, dynasties, when you have them for a long time, they become hated.
Yes.
Like Golden State.
The Warriors, the first year
they won, it was like, this is cool, and all these young guys, and they drafted them. And then by the year three, you were sick and tired of them.
And this is probably too far back for most people, but the Lombardi Packers might rival that. There's just not enough people around here.
Right, I'll remember it vividly.
I can't speak to that from my experience, but I'll give you that. If that's the similar nature of that team can do no wrong, no matter what. And again, I found it interesting, people who are rewatching older NBA games and they're commenting about just like, oh, NBA wasn't quite what I remember it to be.
Right.
That you can't break through that wall. Like if the biggest Jordan stan heard this conversation right now, they would hate you and I. Stop. You're suggesting they weren't the most amazing thing of all time. Are you really trying to downplay Michael? And I'm not. I acknowledge Michael Jordan is the most universal, greatest athlete of all time in his respective sport and maybe in all sports history. But to not acknowledge the other parts around it, I just don't understand that aspect.
The late 80s, early 90s Niners one isn't a bad example either.
But they got knocked off the mantle. Now everybody acknowledges the Patriots were better. Nobody will acknowledge that there's a team better than the Chicago Bulls in the 90s. Nobody.
I don't know about nobody.
The majority of sports fans. And look, the Niners fans would push back against the Pats.
Yeah, I'm talking more of just a non-hated dynasty. I don't feel like there was that love. Cowboy fans obviously did because there was a great rivalry there.
Right.
Like if you're a rival of the Bulls, like there's a personal memory for Blazer fans because one of their six titles was against Portland. So you remember the shrug and all the threes that hit. Like you can't block that out of your mind. So it's a little more personal for us and Jazz fans and Suns fans and Sonic fans. Like it's a little bit different, but
they don't knock down how great they were. In fact, I would say more Knicks fans, Blazers fans, Sonics fans, Jazz fans, you name it. I would say they were more converted to hyping up the great, well, not hyping, maybe the wrong word there, but talking about how great that team was because their favorite team couldn't knock them off.
Yeah.
I mean, many people, fair or not, they jokingly say, well, the day Clyde Drexler died was the day Jordan beat him in the finals. And not died, but in the proverbial sense his greatness was knocked down a peg because Jordan and the Bulls beat the Blazers in 92.
You just realized how much better they were. And somebody texted, I'm 23, so maybe I don't count, but I can't be the only one who doesn't really care about this documentary. And to that, I would say, I mean, no, of course you're not the only person that doesn't care about it, but I think that speaks to just the age difference of not living through it and understanding. And it's why I would hope that everybody would want to watch something like this, because Michael Jordan is one of the most iconic athletes of all time. I know it's an obvious statement, but you don't hear from him very often. You don't get behind the scenes stuff from him very often.
That's why his Kobe thing was so moving.
Right. When he stepped up and gave one of the speech at Kobe's funeral, you don't see that from MJ very often. He's very guarded. And even in his ownership of an NBA team all the years since he's been retired, He's out of sight, out of mind to a certain extent after his playing days were over. And so that's the most fascinating thing to me, is just to get his thoughts, just to hear him sit down and talk, and all the other guys from the teams and all the other guys that they beat. You got Barkley in them. Everybody's in this documentary. And so I would hope that if you weren't old enough to live through it and remember how dominant they were, and the fact that they probably would have won 8 straight titles if it weren't for him leaving to play baseball for a year and a half. I can't wait for it. I hope people of all ages watch it.
Don't forget, top of the hour, we've got author Kurt Simpson, who wrote the new book, Roaring Back, around Tiger Woods. And obviously, we're almost to a year of him winning the Masters. I want to stay on this topic. Do you, in your heart of hearts, do you believe the Bulls would have won 8 straight? How are you feeling about this docuseries? I want to ask Swag that, too, because Swag kind of poo-pooed it a little bit, in the sense of he's not really sure he'll care unless certain people are interviewed in this thing. And that includes Jerry Reinsdorf, who had a big part in breaking up the Chicago Bull run. So I want to see how people are feeling about it. I thought this was awesome. I rooted against Jordan mainly because I wasn't a Bulls fan, and it became the bandwagon thing to do of kids my age. Mm-hmm. But man, to not take in and appreciate Michael Jordan back then, that would have just been sacrilegious. So we'll talk more about this. You can share your thoughts at the Fan Text Line 55305. We'll get to some more of that next on The Fan. Author of the book Roaring Back, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods, Kurt Sampson's going to join us at the top of the hour.
The OG Tiger King.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about his book and just Tiger Woods' resurgence back to the top in golf. Time-wise, it didn't line up for us exactly on the day, because last night they announced the Bulls series coming out in April. Tomorrow, we've got Sam Smith, who wrote a book and has been covering the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan for a very long time. He's going to join us tomorrow at 1 o'clock as well.
Yeah.
Right? Is it him or is it Wade Phillips tomorrow?
I'll double check on the email, but I believe I had that order right.
Sam is Thursday.
Oh, he's Thursday.
It's
okay.
Wade tomorrow.
That's all right. We still got to get him on Thursday.
So yeah, we'll talk more about this, but just talking about the impact. We had a 23-year-old text in that they're really not all that excited about this Bulls Last Dance docuseries ESPN is going to release early. It's a 10-parter. And I think, you know, I can't speak for that individual, but my only assumption is it just didn't impact your life the way that it did so many others, right? You didn't wake up all the time and people would say, dude, did you see those highlights from the Bulls game last night?
Right.
Because we didn't have NBA League Pass. We didn't have a game on every night at our disposal. It was Thursday night. It was Sunday afternoons.
Yep, on NBC.
You know, you'd get the occasional ESPN stuff. You didn't have a whole lot of access to the league the way that you do now. So, like, largely your opinion on players was what people wrote and the highlight packages that would be on SportsCenter. And so if you weren't really old enough to remember that or be in elementary school, middle school, or high school for it, I don't know if you feel the same way about it that a lot of people do.
I mean, they dominated a decade. They won 6 titles. And people can have different opinions on it, but if Jordan doesn't leave, nobody beats them.
You think they went 8 straight?
I do think they went 8 straight.
I'll make the only argument against that.
You think Houston beats them?
If Houston had gotten a couple cracks at it, I would have liked to see
been a great
the
series.
Second or third time they got a crack at it.
We love untold stories, right? Like, this guy said this once. We do that all the time with Jordan. Jordan one time came into my locker room and punched me in the face and then dropped 50 on me. We tell those kind of stories all the time.
Yeah.
There was one, and I remember it was when they made the Houston Rocket ESPN, I don't know, 30 for 30 or something like that. There was a part where somebody said Jordan used to tell people close to him that if they had faced the Rockets and Hakeem, it would have been really tough.
It would have been
Luke
an awesome
Longley
series.
Luke Longley would have gotten eaten alive in that series.
Of course he would have been eaten alive. They beat New York and
Orlando.
Shaq's that's right.
First
was the other
trip,
one.
They swept
him after Nick Anderson choked 4 free throws away.
Well, in Chicago without MJ, almost beat Orlando in the playoffs too. And they also went to Game 7 against New York, I believe, the year that they went to the NBA Finals and almost beat him in the second round.
But see, I think part of I enjoy this. People take this as like a knock against Jordan and the Bulls. I enjoy some of the what ifs. I always wondered what the Magic would have done had Shaq not left for LA and stayed with Penny.
Yeah, that's a big what if.
Had he not left in 96, and the Bulls were amazing in 96 with 72-10, are they getting to 3 straight, or is Shaq and Penny getting to a point where they've now played together for 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
And damn, that thing is clicking.
How many games did those two Houston finals go? Because then they ended up
losing.
The first
one was four games. The second one was seven because the seventh game was cut off with O.J. Simpson.
That's right. It was the O.J. tie-in. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I mean, I would have loved to have seen them get a crack at him, and nobody would have been able to stop Hakeem. I don't deny that in any way, shape, or form. Nobody beat Chicago.
See, here's the only pushback
on that.
They
went to six, and they were 6-0.
Part of the belief with Jordan choosing baseball is also some, and this is just hearsay, some people believe he was truly exhausted physically.
Sure, I think there's got to be right? a part of that I when you go to that many finals and win that many finals in a row.
I think you saw it from the Warriors this year. They shut it down. They were like, look, his hands hurt. We don't need to rush him back. Draymond's a little banged up. We're going to rest him a ton. When you make extended runs and you put that many more games and minutes on your body, especially back in the 90s when we didn't have anywhere close to the education of health and wellness for pro athletes that we do now. Look, I'm not saying they wouldn't have won eight. I could totally buy that they would have won eight. I just would also understand if somebody thinks that they get knocked off one of the years even two of the years.
That New York team in 1994, that was because MJ was back for the Orlando series. But in the 1994, when New York went, the Knicks pushed Houston to seven games in the NBA Finals, as we just talked about. Chicago, without MJ, pushed New York to seven games in the second round of the playoffs. And nobody in any of those finals matchups ever even forced Chicago to a game seven. They never even got to a game seven. So that's just kind of my thinking. And that's why they're such a fascinating team is you've seen, you go back to the 80s where you had the LA and Boston going back and forth year after year after year. You've had New England and their dominant run. I mean, the only thing that really compares to this of a dynasty that never lost in the championship was the Joe Montana, Bill Walsh 49ers. They were the only ones. Is there another one that I'm missing that was a dynasty that went to multiple that never lost in a championship?
No, that's probably it.
How many did the Cowboys win in the 90s?
Well,
they won
three.
Did they ever lose a Super Bowl? So that could be a comparable
one.
They lost
in the 70s.
They did lose in the
70s. Steelers beat them twice, right?
Well, I'm just going snapshots. Like Chicago, I'm just looking at the Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan-led Bulls, not a history of the organization. The Niners have lost Super Bowls, obviously, since then. But that run of those two guys dominating the league, that nobody beat them when it mattered the most in the Super Bowl.
Why do you think we never got sick or hated them the way we have, again, with so many others?
I think it was just the love of Michael. He was just such a unique, it was just the perfect storm.
Yeah, I totally buy into the theory, too, that he hit, like, advertising.
It just was perfect,
everything,
man.
Lined up exactly
the
perfect.
The commercials, the Be Like Mike song, Stars the Gatorade, aligned. The Nike shoes. Like, it just was everything.
Teams, even NFL teams in the 70s and 80s, your rivalries were so entrenched that you were never going to, you know, win over certain factions of NFL fans. You couldn't do it. Things were so entrenched. And the Bulls were a laughing stock for the most part before Jordan came. So even whatever, maybe regional rivalries or whatever, they didn't have any true rivals until it was Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the other. I always think that kind of.
And nobody liked the Pistons. So
and nobody
when
liked that.
When
they dethroned them.
Well, and I wonder how much of it, too, was a part of. I think after a while, you get tired of it. And, you had Boston and L.A. essentially win, what, every title outside of, like, 1983 in the entire decade, right?
The Pistons won in 89.
Until the Pistons won in 89. So you had the same team.
Sixers has a random championship in the 80s, and that's it,
yeah,
right?
1983. Yeah, 83. Is the only one, because the Lakers won in 80. It went Lakers, Celtics, Lakers, 76ers, Celtics, Lakers, Celtics, Lakers, Lakers, and then the Pistons finally won in 89. But to your point, people hated Detroit because they were the bad boys. So I wonder if there was the fatigue of Boston and L.A. Like, all right, it was fun, but you saw it every year over and over and over again, a la Golden State and Cleveland. And then you had a team that everybody hated. So Chicago was kind of a breath of fresh air. And then on top of that, you had a kind of halftime.
But who,
you had a two-year break from the Jordan dominance and the Bulls winning that kind of, okay, well, there's Houston. And then they came back and they won three more.
Well, to go to the stars aligning thing, too. And look, this is just part of being great, right? Like, things break your way along with you being great. USC, when they had their dominant run, the Pac-10 wasn't really that strong.
Sure.
I would look at the NBA, too, and say, Isaiah and the Pistons kind of fell apart. You know, Isaiah kind of got banged up and they got to a point where they just weren't as good as they once were. Who in the East was great? We play this game all the time now. Like, LeBron gets us a lot. The East sucks. No doubt. The East is terrible. Who in the East was truly great?
I mean, they had to get through Detroit at first.
Right.
To win
once
their first
they got,
title.
Once the Pistons stopped being the Pistons.
And Boston was still, I mean, Bird was still playing, but they were not the same team that they used to be.
Their
the
first
start.
Title also against the Lakers. Go look at who was healthy and who was banged
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I mean, that LA team was a shell of itself.
That's why they won it in five games.
Yeah, 1991. That's hard to go back because you had Orlando come out, but they really peaked when Jordan was out of the league.
They were also young.
And they were super
they
young.
Broke up too early.
And then what year did Shaq end up leaving? For LA, 97?
96.
96. So, yeah, that was a short run, too, or just a couple of years, one of the years they made the finals. You'd have to go back and look. I can't even remember off the top of my head.
It's your Pacers team in the late 90s, or
yeah,
you're going,
Reggie Miller.
Or your argument's the Knicks, but the Knicks got to the finals and they couldn't win it.
Yeah.
So it's not to, again, this is not to say Jordan but the Bulls were not awesome. It's sure. Just simply to point out, as we've said, there were things that did help and lined up a little bit.
Sure, there's no doubt about that. The thing that they can always spike the football with is the fact that they never lost.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? I mean, the fact
can't
that
argue with that.
And so you can say all you want, the division was easy or the conference was easy or the path was easier. But yes, the LA team was a shell of itself, but we knew how good that Portland team was in 92. They beat them in six. That Phoenix team was loaded in 93, beat them in six. That Seattle team was great.
That Seattle team was extremely banged up.
Okay.
Nate McMillan was sure. Banged up. Gary Payton tore his calf.
Okay.
I'm just saying, if you go through and you look at it, it's not what you think it is.
Okay. And then they beat Utah twice.
You beat Utah twice, no doubt. I think the reaction, see, even when you say it and I push back, you have like this look of like, well.
Yeah, you're trying to poke holes in it.
I'm not poking. I just think it's also a reality. It's what you face. Like LeBron wins his first title against a baby Thunder team. Benefits greatly. Ray Allen hits the shot in the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. They go to Game 7. If Ray Allen misses the shot, they lose to the Spurs. But you can't change reality either. And as you mentioned,
the results are there.
Going 6-for-6 is just, it's something we really hadn't seen in modern day sports. It
was
insane.
No team in the NBA has been able to do that since. Every other dominant team has gone and lost at some point in the finals.
I just can't wait for a lot of people to be educated or reminded of Michael freaking Jordan. Because it's going to be awesome. And I am stoked for this thing to come out. April 19th, 10-part docuseries on the Chicago Bulls. The Last Dance, it's when it's going to start. It's on April 19th, and it's going to run till May 17th. It is going to be totally awesome. All right, loaded second hour. Kurt Sampson wrote the book Roaring Back, The Fall and the Rise of Tiger Woods. He joins us to kick off hour number two. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.